I knew this was a straight-up organization when I saw that Kirk Henning was involved with this, and I am a complete rookie at this. On the other hand, when I heard the theme, I thought, I'm a natural, and name Ashbaugh, you know, I can do this. And I have a story about ashes, and it connects my hometown of Reading with a small town in the foothills of the Great Smokies in North Carolina. And it connects a four-year-old boy and his kindergarten teacher and my favorite poet, who happens to come from Massachusetts, where my mother was born, in fact, and a World War II veteran and a grasshopper. I'll get to the grasshopper. My World War II veteran is, in fact, my mother, who died, I don't think it was any coincidence at all, on Pearl Harbor Day in 2010. She was, of course, I was very close to her. She was a wonderful woman. And she did a remarkable job of raising myself and my two brothers, in spite of what you see now before you. But she was certainly an inspiration in so many ways. She was, in fact, I think the last time I was at a group of storytellers, I was a little four-year-old boy, and she dragged me to these storytellers. I mean, she took me. I loved the storytellers. I don't know why I haven't been back in all these years, 56 years later now. She is a... when she died, we of course meticulously planned her memorial service the following month in January. We took the long weekend and Martin Luther King holiday, and the services were wonderful. They were held in our Pilgrim Congregational Church that she and my father had actually founded in that hometown of Reading. Lots of people came from all over, including a woman who used to live next door to me and who was indeed my kindergarten teacher, and her name was Mary Oliver. Lots of people came. It was we had a graveside service afterward, and we interred her ashes there next to my father. Before, though, we put that urn in the ground and we shoveled the red clay soil of Reading over it, I had arranged with the people in charge to obtain a little pouch of my mother's ashes, which I happen to have with me now here, too, this little green pouch. I did get this from the funeral director. And I, when I got this after the graveside service, I was overcome with emotion. You can just imagine. I mean, we'd just gone through the services at the church. My daughter had sung a beautiful song. Lots of people. We read a poem by my favorite poet from Massachusetts, whose name also, coincidentally, is Mary Oliver. And I was so moved. I took this little pouch in my hands, and I said, I need a little time by myself. So I took a little walk down the driveway in this beautiful little cemetery. You can see Mount Lassen. You can see Mount Shasta. I'm sure that when my mother arrived in that town in 1947, she tells me all the time about this. She told me that she was loved the town because she could see snow on the mountains. I'm sure it reminded her of the Great Smokies, her hometown. Asheville, near Asheville, North Carolina, matter of fact. And I was inspired, for some reason, to ask for a little pouch of my mother's ashes. Because I had planned months earlier to actually go to North Carolina. I was going to attend a conference there. And I thought, well, I'll just take a little of her ashes. I'll find her mother and her father's graves there in near Asheville, and I will scatter some of her ashes on those graves. And sure enough, I had this in my hands now, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the fact that you know, my sense of place is very much centered on Reading, although I've lived here now for a vast majority of my life, but I loved Reading. And I was just thinking about this on this little road approaching the river down below the cemetery. Beautiful, crisp winter day in Reading. And along comes this little gray van driving by, and it happens to be in the passenger seat Mary Oliver, none other than my kindergarten teacher, Mary Oliver. And she says, John, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm fine. I'm great. I've got this plan, you know. We talked about this a little bit, and she says, by the way, I remember you in kindergarten, and I remember you, a little four-year-old boy, and I remember you were carrying around with you a little pocket dictionary that your mother had given to me. And do you remember that pocket dictionary? And I said, do you mean this one? I had somehow, I had brought this little pocket dictionary with me to that service because it's the one artifact I remember most about my mother and her love of words and her love of books. Well, that was one of many coincidences here. Mary Oliver was also a poet whose work I read there, and which I'm going to share with you, too, as soon as we're done. But let me just tell you a very quick story about Tryon, too, because happens to be, Tryon is very near Asheville, one of the most beautiful, charming towns probably anywhere in the South. I can see why she was attracted to this town. I can see where her roots were. I was invited after I had performed my little ritual of spreading her ashes on her parents' grave there the next day. I was invited, in fact, to give a part of the service at the Congregational Church where my grandfather had been a minister. That was, to me, a remarkable thing to be able to share again with that congregation, with those people, many of whom remembered my mother, my aunt, and my other aunts. It was a great sense of, again, a sense of place. I found immediately among those people in near Asheville, North Carolina. And the fact that my mother's ashes are now mixed with her, I've been back one more time since then, and found her youngest sister's grave and acknowledge her there too. And I'm thinking to myself, well, when it's time for me to take leave of this mortal coil, I do hope perhaps that some part of my ashes might be scattered on my parents' grave up in Reading too. Just something that's kind of come to me, and I thought I'd end by telling you this poem from Mary Oliver. It's called, even though it was a winter day, this is a poem called A Summer Day. Some of you may know it. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper, this grasshopper, the one that had just leaped out of the tall grass, the one who is now eating the sugar out of my hand, the one, this one, whose eyes are gazing back and forth, whose jaws are working back and forth, not up and down. This grasshopper whose pale forearms suddenly go into action and wash her face thoroughly, who then lifts her pale forearms and her wings and flutters back into the tail grass. I do not know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the tall grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed. I do know how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Doesn't everything die and too soon? Tell me, what do you plan to do with your wild and precious life? Thank you.